So here we are in the midst of summer, and I will tell you that the year is 4/5 over. How do I know that? Because this week we are reading the end of the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, there we are, which means we only have one book of the Torah left, Deuteronomy, which for some make us worry that the high holidays are coming a little too quick, but we're not going to worry about that right now. Instead, I'll tell you that this Torah portion that comes at the end of the book of Numbers, called Matot Maaseh, the Israelites have made it through 40 years of wandering. They are standing on the shores, on the banks of the Jordan River. They can look over just on the other side. There's the promised land, but we're not there yet. In this Torah portion, there's a list. There's a list of their 40 years of wandering. Every one of the places where they stopped along the way and made camp. 42 places in total. Now, interesting, when we talk about the Israelites and we think about wandering for 40 years in the desert, we picture them, this endless caravan going here and there and there and there and there. But in truth, if they camped in only 42 places in 40 years, they must have stayed put at least for a little while in some of those places and then moved on to the next place, right? Still, that's a lot of moving. How many places have you lived in the last 40 years? Stop and think for a minute. Count that all up. How many of you have lived in only one place in the last 4 years? Raise a hand. Oh, good for you. Awesome. How many of you have lived in five or fewer places in the last? Anybody 10 or fewer places in the last, more than that? I was talking with Sharon and her family, right? They moved here this year, 30 plus years in the same house. Is that right? So now I will tell you that in the last 40 years, I have lived at 12 different addresses in 9 different cities. So that's, I've had a good experience with a good bit of musing. Moving. I have to say, there's something very nice about being settled. I'm thrilled that we are starting year number 4 in Northern Virginia for us. But there is also something to be said for knowing when to move on. Because of the portion, I've been thinking about staying in place and thinking about moving, not so much in a physical sense. Nobody get nervous or worried, Al, I was going to say. But thinking more about when we have to stay put or when we are stuck in a metaphorical sense. Sometimes I think we get stuck in place because it's easier to stay or because it's hard to move on, even when we might know that it's time. I'll give you an example of what I'm thinking. I think that we are right now as a country stuck in a place where baseless hatred holds sway, where fear of the other morphs into racism and supremacy and bigotry and bias. We are held motionless as violence and terror flare. Anti-Semitic attacks in the United States are up 36% in the past year. Attacks on Asian Americans are up over 300%. African Americans remain the most targeted group by race. Small wonder in our country where a United States senator takes several tries before he can actually admit that white nationalism is racism, albeit in fancier language. Not only are acts of racism and bigotry, homophobia, transphobia, anti-Semitism, ableism, misogyny, all of the different forms of hatred that we know, not only are they now more common and prevalent than any time in the last decade or more, with the help of some of our recent Supreme Court cases, in some cases they may even be legal. The book of Leviticus teaches us, do not hate another in your heart, but extremists of all shapes and sizes do, and they sometimes act on that hatred with terrible results. We are at a place where people are hated because of the color of their skin, because of the love of their hearts, because of the beliefs of their souls, because the place in which they are born or live, because of the views that they express. Surely, surely it is time for us to move on from that place. We are also stuck in a place where violence from guns is an all too common occurrence. This week alone on the campuses of Catholic University and Howard University, there was gun violence. Did you know that over the 4th of July weekend across the country, there were 18 people killed, 102 people wounded in 17 different shootings from Fort Worth, Texas, to Baltimore, to Shreveport, Louisiana, Illinois, Indiana, New York, Michigan, Missouri, Ohio, Oklahoma, and more. We are stuck in a place where sensible restrictions supported by majorities of Americans are thwarted. We remain unable to ensure that those who exercise their proper right to have a gun also have to have the training to know how to use it safely and the mental stability to own it wisely. We are still unable to require mandatory background checks or waiting periods. We are at a time and at a place where sensible technological advancements, smart guns, or palm print recognition grips, or trigger locks that make gun ownership safer and all of society safer, where these advances are squashed or ridiculed or thwarted instead of embraced and advanced. If your phone can be configured so that it can only be opened and used by you, can't we make it so that your gun can only be configured like that also? The technology is there, but we are stuck in a place. We are stuck in a place where even the murder of school children or people in prayer can't move us forward enough. And surely we know it is time to move on from here. There's a third place where I think we've become stuck. I think that we are mired in a place where dialogue and discussion is perpetually polarized into a with me or against me ultimatum, where rather than acknowledging that there may be differences in approach, those with whom we disagree are denigrated or denounced as traitors or evil beings who are out to destroy everything that we hold dear. We see this in American society, where the title of patriot is claimed absolutely, as if there wasn't more than one way to love our country. We see this in politics, where the titles of fascist or socialist are bandied about generically without a deeper understanding of their true meaning, where they are used to signal disparagement, not just of ideas, but of people. We see this in the Jewish community at times as well, where the title of pro-Israel is sometimes the prize of a holier-than-thou contest instead of the starting point of a conversation. We have been here for a while now, with larger and larger segments of America stuck in this quagmire. I will point out, by the way, that Judaism has always had a place for reasoned debate. The Talmud is nothing but the written record of halakhic disagreements without personal attacks, differences of opinions within our community without the dangerous descent into demonization. Consideration of complicated issues from all perspectives is part of the Jewish DNA. Maybe that can help us to unstick ourselves and our community around us to move on to a place where we can have reasonable conversations, because surely it is time to move on to there. Now, do you know how the Israelites knew as they were wandering around when it was time to journey forward? There was a giant pillar of cloud, or a pillar of fire, that was always with them. A pillar of cloud during the day, a pillar of fire at night. When it stayed stationary in place, when it rested, they stayed in place, they made camp, and they stayed there. And when the cloud or the fire, when the pillar got up and started moving, they moved as well. This was a sign of God's presence in their midst and a signal from God when it was time to go. Now, we no longer have pillars of clouds or fires telling us when it's time for us to move on, and we cannot wait for the certainty of signs in the same way in our own day. But what further signs do we need in order to know that we must move on from multidimensional forms of hatred, that we must move on from the scourge of gun violence, that we must move on from the inability to hear views with which we disagree? Our journey forward to the promised land is not complete. The Israelites aren't there yet either. Neither are we. But we cannot afford to be stuck in these places any longer. Our journey forward to the promised land must continue. On this Shabbat, when we hear of the Israelites' journeys through the wilderness, we pray that God will grant to each one of us the ability to recognize where we are along the way, the insight to know when we must move on, and the strength that we need for the journeys ahead. Keni hi ratzon, may this be God's will. And together let us all say, Amen. Shabbat Shalom.